Welcome to Big Blue Kickoff Live right here on Giants.com. John Schmelk, Lance Meadow with you, 201-939-4513. Or on Twitter, you can chime in at hashtag Giants Chat. Giants, of course, started their season at 0-1 with that bad loss to the Detroit Lions on Monday Night Football. But now they get their home opener, a celebration of the Giants' 90th year against the Arizona Cardinals at 1 o'clock. Lance, good afternoon. How are you?
I'm doing well, John. How about yourself?
I need you to bring in a nice picture. I can add you to the wall here.
I know. I'm actually a little disappointed that the one element missing from this wall is a picture of myself.
That's
a bad job by you.
That's actually been the biggest comment I've gotten. Oh, you didn't put Lance up there.
Well, you probably made the right decision by neglecting to include me on the
Roman wall. Omen actually brought an old action photo of him that I have to squeeze in next week. I have an Eisen shot I can put in next week. I have some changes I'm going to make, but it's a work in progress, but it's fun. But what I want to say to the viewers out there, actually, and I'll make this mention more than once, if you guys want to send in a shot or something you think is cool that we could put on the desk, put on the wall, something you think is clever, send it in. Contact us on Twitter. I'll let you know where to send it. And we can make that happen if we think it's cool. I'm not guaranteeing anything because I'm not going to tell you. I'm going to put stuff up that ends up being bad. But send it in. We'll give it a shot. If you think it could be fun, make it onto the wall. And that's what this is supposed to be, guys. It's supposed to be fun. Add stuff. Make it a collage. We can change it from week to week. You know, put stuff up there that maybe has some significance to the season or to the week. That's the type of stuff we can have fun with as we move forward here on Giants.com. But, Lance, let's get to it. Giants and the Arizona Cardinals. Let's preview that game a little bit before you take your calls at 201-939-4513. And Lance, the first thing I want to touch on here is that the Cardinals, despite their injuries, still have a top defense, probably stronger back to front than even the Detroit Lions.
Arizona Cardinals were number one against the run last season, and they're pretty much carrying over the same personnel that they had last year.
Dockett got hurt,
with the exception, obviously, of Darnell Dockett, who's on IR because of a knee injury. John Abraham is now contemplating retirement, but John, they have a tremendous amount of depth at this linebacker spot. Sam Acho is probably going to fill in for Abraham. You have a number of different weapons that they like to mix and match. And since they play that 3-4 scheme, it makes it very difficult to get running lanes because they stack the box constantly. They only gave up 84 yards on the ground last season.
Yeah, you mentioned their big nose tackle, Dan Williams, is still there. He's very good at stopping the one. Their two inside linebackers, Larry Foote and Kevin Minter, I believe a second-round pick last year, if memory serves. Very good against the runs. The Giants will have their work cut out for them in terms of running the football. And then, Lance, look at their back end. Perhaps the best cornerback tandem in the league with Cromartie and, of course, Patrick Peterson. You throw in the Honey Badger. We'll see if he ends up playing in this game. And, boy, they can cover, too. So this Giants offense doesn't get any easier from week one to week two, my friend.
Not at all. And everybody was saying that the Lions' secondary was going to be a cakewalk for the Giants. It didn't turn out to be the case. Now, if you compare the Lions' secondary to the Cardinals' secondary, it's somewhat apples and oranges. You just went over the personnel. Matthew actually was a full participant in practice the other day, so it's looking positive that he may suit up. And the two corners, they tell those guys, hey, we're going to put you out on an island, and we're going to have you man up on your respective opponents. So that sometimes could be an advantage to the Giants if they can win their individual battles, but they're also physical because they like to play press coverage.
Well, and that's the thing. We've talked about it, Lance. Can these Giant cornerbacks get separation? Can they get open? And they're going to be challenged this week by these cornerbacks. Victor Cruz and Ruben Randall both said earlier in the week they're excited about it, but now you got to go out in the field and prove it.
Cruz, Randall, Jarrell Jernigan, the list goes on and on. Everybody needs to make plays around Eli Manning. And they were making some plays in the last contest, but there was no consistency other than maybe Larry Donnell flashing here or there. Players need to get in position. They need to be on the same page with the quarterback. And if you do that, that's how you build continuity on offense. If you don't do that, you're going to have drives that are stagnant, that go for three and outs, and you're going to also have drives where you can move down the field. They need to have more drives from the latter.
And, Lance, we should touch on the injury report because there was a news of, I would say, significance yesterday from Tom Coughlin. John Beeson was expected to be limited, and I think that might be a constant thread throughout the early part of the season as he manages that foot injury. But he wasn't just limited yesterday. He didn't end up practicing at all, which is something Tom Coughlin, I think, was surprised about. He said that in his post-practice press conference. And there seems to be an issue of trying to get the right shoe on his foot so that it doesn't compress the foot, cause him pain, which could hurt his play. They thought they had found that shoe in the summer. They were kind of rotating them, trying to find the right one, and now they seem to be back to the drawing board a little bit. Hopefully they can get that squared away, but there still seems to be some pretty good optimism that he's going to play on Sunday. But if they don't get the shoe situation in order, the issue is going to be his recovery time from these games on Sundays, and you really don't want to limit his practice time. You want him out there so he can be ready on Sunday.
Well, even Perry Fuel, when he spoke to the media the other day, John, alluded to the fact that Beeson was a bit rusty. even for the limited snaps that he was out there. So
you got there about 42 snaps,
correct,
if I recall.
In that ballpark, right. And that's why it's important, you're right, for him to build chemistry with his teammates during the course of practice. They're classifying it as soreness at this point. That's the main thing that he's dealing with. I don't think it's anything that everybody needs to hit the panic button, but you don't want it to be consistently like that throughout the season. You want eventually him to get to a point where he gets out of a game and he's ready to get back out and practice by Tuesday or Wednesday.
And we'll take your calls in just 1 second at 201-939-4513. But I just want to classify this quote-unquote soreness because it's vague. And fans might be like, oh, did he re-injure it? Is this a setback? Well, I can just speak from experience. And obviously, professional athlete and me, this is obviously two completely different things. But I broke my hand a few years ago. I had a fracture in my ring finger on my right hand, like right over here. I can use the camera now. See how about that?
Wonderful. But now, was this a basketball injury?
Yes,
football
it was.
Injury?
It was
Can
a
we
basketball
please
injury.
Specify?
It was a basketball
injury.
It was non-displaced, so I didn't have to have surgery. John Beeson also didn't have to have surgery on his foot. So, got x-rays after, I think it was 4 to 5 weeks. The bone was completely healed, and it was fine. There was no chance of re-injury. I started playing basketball again, and the doctor said, you're good to go. But every time you shake somebody's hand and they squeeze you, it hurts because your muscles lose the definition from not using it for a while, and you lose strength. And even though the bone is healed and you're good to play, it still hurts. So I think that's the type of pain that Beeson really has to manage now. And he's going to have to play with it, which he's more than happy to do, by the way. He's a trooper. He's going to go out and play with that injury.
That's well documented. Remember, when he was sidelined, John, you could do upper body work, but you can't do lower body work. So, you know, you're working on your mechanics up top, and you're building continuity there and strength, but you also need to complement that down below, and that's where he's trying to catch up at this point.
And it's conditioning, obviously, too. He has to be out there for a number of snaps. We have sound from Ben McAdoo. We got sound from Perry Fuel. We'll hit that over the course of the show as you get calls about the offense and on the defense. 201-939-4513. Kendall's up in Canada. Kendall, you're up next, or first, rather, on this afternoon on Big Blue Kickoff Live on Giants.com. How are you, Kendall?
I'm doing excellent. I just want to say I like the new format. I like having Roman Oben, an ex-player, on. So I think you guys are really moving in the right direction.
I appreciate that. And we're going to get Sean O'Hara into the mix from week to week. He's going to kind of do, I think, half the Mondays. Lance with the other half. We're still trying to figure that out. But O'Hara will be in the mix as well.
And I'm officially canceling bold predictions on Friday. I've mentioned all the positive that I can say, and you know in the past that I've been one of the most optimistic fans there are. But when I watched Monday night and I went, oh, my God, did I get a hold of Doc and go back in the future to see the 2013 Giants playing the 2014?
Kendall, it looked like nothing had changed. And that's what I think is a little bit scary for a lot of Giant fans out there.
They were down by 14 points. Eli's running for his life. They can't run the ball. The offensive line. Who I feel most bad about, having running my own business and having to preach to people to do stuff, is poor Tom Coughlin. You imagine, since January, he's preached, don't turn over the ball. Get
it's
out
true.
Do good there.
Two picks.
Run the ball. Smash
couldn't run it.
Football. And none of that, like, did they not attend the meetings? Do they have cotton in their ears? Do we need to give them a bunch of hearing aids?
Well, Kendall, here's my thing. Honestly, Kendall, here's my thing, and I will let you finish after I'm done here. All we got in the offseason, Lance and I, were calls. You got to change the offensive coordinator. You got to change the system. That's where the problem is. You change that, you'll fix it, you're going to be good to go. Well, eventually, it gets to the point where if you change systems, you change what you're doing, and your results are the same, doesn't it come down to talent on the field? And we talked about earlier, Kendall, this week, you're going to see Patrick Peterson and Antonio Cromartie line up man-on-man on Victor Cruz and Ruben Randle. At some point, the Giants wide receivers are going to have to be better than the Arizona Cardinals cornerbacks. We'll see if that happens on Sunday.
And what's the word on Odell? Is like, I mean, this has to be the longest hamstring injury that I've ever heard of that really wasn't a hamstring injury to even start with. I mean, it just boggles my mind that they wouldn't know that he had these issues. Like, I've never felt so snake-bitten as a Giants fan as I've felt this year. Like, I feel so bad for David Wilson. I feel, you know, like, it just seems like anything that can go wrong, like, That's the only good news of the reason why I'm not on the ledge ready to jump in the river is it can't get any worse than this.
Well, he's had some hamstring issues, Kendall, to answer your question, during the course of his college tenure. And that doesn't mean that it was automatically going to continue at the professional level. It has been frustrating for members of the organization as well as Odell Beckham Jr. himself. I don't think at this point it's anything to necessarily be overly concerned with. I'd appreciate the phone call, Kendall. Thanks so much for weighing in. He's been doing some work on the side. That's been a step in the right direction for him. But they're not going to rush him at this point. And I understand the fan base is aggravated and wants to see him on the football field. But if you bring him back now and then he pulls the hamstring again, John, you're talking about you're not even going to see him for the rest of the season. So you have to preach patience at this point. And, yes, unfortunately, it's at a time where the Giants are in desperate need of a playmaker. And Odell Beckham Jr. could be the answer to that.
Well, this is why they drafted him.
Absolutely.
They drafted him because they needed somebody to make a damn play. And they need him out there. There's no question about it. But, Lance, you hit it right on the head. You bring him back a game early, and or even a week early, a day early, before his hamstring is ready to handle the vigors of running full speed, sprinting, changing direction against a guy like Patrick Peterson. He re-injures it. He's either out, like you said, for another 2 months, or he's in and out of the lineup. He's not 100%. He's not full speed. Then all of a sudden, you don't have the player you drafted anyway. And he's not helping you the way he should. So as much as it's painful now to watch his offense without him, I think you have to take the pain now. So you hope by that first game in October against the Atlanta Falcons, when you're going to have to score points against Julio Jones, Roddy White, and Matt Ryan, he's out there to help you. Because if you're rushing back this week and he re-hurts himself, guess what? You're not going to get him back until probably after the bye, or after that stretch of hard games after the bye, and then you're really up the creek.
And now you could compare another player on the Giants, because Devon Kennard is out with a hamstring injury. He's been dealing with a similar circumstance.
And that'll be a couple weeks, I think.
It's not necessarily as severe as Odell Beckham Jr., but Perry Fuel, when he spoke to the media the other day, said, hey, we had some packages that we wanted to utilize with Kennard in the mix. He goes out, all of a sudden it changes the entire defensive approach to that contest. So rather get it ready, get it under control now so that you have Kennard back for, as John just mentioned, when you get into that heart and soul of the season.
Go back to the phones at 201-939-4513. Drew is down in Virginia. Drew, you're up next. What's going on, buddy?
Hey, guys. How you doing this morning?
How you doing, Drew?
That's just bad.
Yeah, I know. You know what, Drew? It's funny. I thought about this, and one of my, you know, you get these verbal tells when you say hello to somebody on the phone on these shows and you want to say good morning right away. I guarantee I'm going to be saying good morning for the next 2 weeks. There's absolutely no question about it.
Yeah, you know, it's kind of funny because in a funny kind of way, man, I kind of miss the morning shows because, you know, by the afternoon shows, you know, when you listen to it and everything, by the time it's done, it's 1 o'clock in the afternoon. So, you know.
Well, Joe, here's what you do. You get some nice lunch, you make yourself a grilled cheese, you get some Chef Boyardee, you sit down, you chow down, and you get to hang out with us from 12 to 1 every day.
Plus, it gives you an excuse not to have to work, Drew, so that's always a positive.
that works. Hey, man, I got, you know, there's a couple of questions, but first and foremost, man, you know, because, again, let me backtrack, again, you know, it's way too early to be calling anything, so I'm not ready to jump off the ledge just yet. That said, I'm going to say that we won this game because you always think your team is going to win, to quote Lynn. I'm going to say we won this one. I'm going to still go 21-17 again. That's what I scored last time for the Lions game, and obviously I got blown out the water.
Well, Drew, I'll say this, though. I think this score is more realistic this week, considering the Cardinals' defense, I think, is better than Detroit, but their offense, while it's good, and Michael Floyd and Larry Fitzgerald, and we'll talk about those guys as the show goes along, are good wide receivers. They're not Calvin Johnson and Golden Tate, and I don't think Carson Palmer is quite as good as Matthew Stafford either. So I think 21-17 is probably about where this game is going to land.
Yeah, okay. I feel that way too. And the other thing too is honestly, I don't see that the defense can get any worse than it did last week. I think that the defense will rebound. You know, they had a bad thing, and honestly, man, I trust Antrell Rowe. I trust that Antrell Rowe will get that secondary together.
Well, Drew, if you clean up some of the mental mistakes and some of the other issues that were apparent in the last contest, you hope that obviously you don't allow the opposition to pack around and collect all those yardages. The only thing that I'm concerned about is the fact that Andre Ellington is similar somewhat to Reggie Bush, that he's so involved in the passing game as he is with the running game, and the linebackers had some trouble matching up with Joyke Bell and Reggie Bush when they were out there as receivers. So that would be at least somewhat of a red flag heading into this game.
Hey, Drew, I just want to play for you. This was Perry Fuel yesterday talking to the media about the defense and why he thinks they've been on week number two. Why don't you take a listen to Coach Fuel?
Oh, I saw some very encouraging things. As we looked at it, from missed assignments, people trying to help and do too much, we probably gave up about 167, okay? We could tackle better, okay? That's another 36, okay? So if we can correct those things there, okay, and play better together as a defensive unit and as a secondary, then, yes, there are some encouraging things there. You know, we did a good job, I thought, in the run game. I expected us to you know, force some more turnovers, and that's going to be an emphasis, you know, and that's always been an emphasis. But, you can improve from week one to week two, and we want to improve from, you know, our first outing.
And that's Giants defensive coordinator Perry Fuel, and he said it there. Now, Drew, he thinks the mistakes are correctable, but the mistakes still count. It's not like you say, well, if they don't make these mistakes, the defense is great, but they did make the mistake. So they're correctable, and you hope they make them this week. And if they do, look, I think if the Giants want to win this week and, frankly, win the next couple of weeks, their defense is going to have to carry them, which is why people say, well, the defense did their job. To me, you're asking more of the defense than just doing your job for the first month because the offense is in the state that it's in. So I do think you need better from that side of the ball.
And I completely agree with what Perry Few said and what you just said. I mean, I'm 100% on that, and that's exactly the way I see it. I do feel like the defense is going to have to carry the offense. And I do think that, obviously there was a lot of mental mistakes out there on the field. So yeah, I'm agreeing with that. You know, now obviously that's what's said. I'd like to see that translate to actually on the field. Then the other thing I got, you know, real quick, man, is Beatty. Beatty needs to step it up too, man. I mean, really, you know, I don't want to see Eli out there again, you know, running for his life and everything else, because you know these guys are getting ran over or can't pick up.
You know, Drew, honestly
blocks.
Though, to be fair to Beatty, I don't think he was the worst of the issues in the offensive line. I thought he was probably in the middle, maybe the second or third best offensive lineman last week. I don't think he was the main issue.
I'll give you that. He still had a bad day, but I'll say Pugh had a bad day as well, too.
And so did J.D. Walton. I thought J.D. Walton played the worst game I've seen him play as a member of the Giants.
Yeah, there was a lot of pressure.
I thought he had a lot of issues.
Well, I guess there was just so many breakdowns that it was kind of hard to pick out.
Well, that's the problem. We're like, well, this offensive lineman played bad. This guy played bad. This guy played bad. No matter, Eli Manning didn't have a big game.
Yeah, you know, and then the last thing I want to see, I want to make a last statement, ask a question,
sure.
Then I'll let you go. You know, everybody's beating up Eli. Now, first and foremost, let me say this right now, okay? Eli does need to take some of the responsibility, and I also think that Eli needs to, man, and you know I'm an Eli fan. I do feel like Eli probably needs to man up a little bit. And not hear the footsteps that sometimes I think he's hearing. However, okay, let's not make no mistake. The offensive line is broken. Eli is running around out there for his life. So it's a combination of both, but let's not place all of the blame on Eli.
Yep.
Then my last
be
my,
quick,
my,
Drew,
my,
be
actually,
quick.
My, yeah, I am. My, this is my question that I want to ask. Who decided to introduce this West Coast offense? And my question basically is, and I'm assuming they did, but, you know, do you really feel like Eli's skill set was considered when they decided to go to this West Coast offense? That's my question, and I'll take your answer off the air.
All right, Drew, thanks for the call, bud. Yeah, of course Eli's skill set was taken into consideration. And I think what they really like about Eli in this offense is his intelligence. And, in fact, let's take a second here. I've got to make sure I have the right cut. And we'll hear from Giants offensive coordinator Ben McAdoo. He talked about Eli yesterday when he spoke to the media, and he discussed whether or not he thinks Eli fits in the Giants offense.
I think he's a perfect fit for this offense. He's very smart. You can see his feet come. I thought if there's anything that's encouraging about what happened in the game, it was the comfort level in his feet and the progress that he's making fundamentally. He's seeing things. You know, he's not always, you know, he's not 100%, but who is? But at the same point in time, he's making progress, and I have 100% confidence in Eli.
And that's Giants offensive coordinator Ben McAdoo, and I think it is his intelligence that they like the most. Now, there are some issues, and I think one is on some of these sprint outs and these rollouts, Eli doesn't necessarily, Lance, make great plays when he's on the move on his feet. And I think he's much more comfortable in the pocket. I think they will adjust the game plan as they go along to match the personnel. Maybe you'll see a little bit less of that. But the bottom line, you can be in Kevin Gilbride's system. You can be in Ben McAdoo's system. You can be in the run and shoot. You can name it. You can run the single wing if you want. If you don't have offensive line protection, your receivers don't get open, it's not going to do you any good.
But what did McAdoo throw out? The wing T, I believe, yesterday. Yes, exactly. He threw out a couple of different formations. Players have to make plays regardless of what offense you're running. And I think that as much that it falls on Eli Manning, it also falls on the talent pool around him. And the talent pool around him did not live up to expectations in this last game. Yes, there's always been a concern about Eli Manning's lack of mobility. I mean, Kevin Gilbride, I'm sure, would have loved to have taken advantage of some other plays if he knew that Eli Manning was capable of running. I don't think that that's any new secret, any new development. Ben McAdoo knew coming in, it's not Aaron Rodgers. So therefore, you have to play to the strengths of the personnel. And I'm sure the Giants front office realized that too. You see what happened in game one. You see what transpired. Now you start to make tweaks, because this was the first time that McAdoo was able to really see how this team worked throughout the course of four quarters, as opposed to the preseason where it's, you know, here or there.
Hey, look, it's not just Eli too. I mean, Tom Brady has struggled with a bad offensive line. This year, last year, he struggled with young wide receivers. You know, these guys that are pocket passers need protection, and the Giants' offensive line simply has to play better. 201-939-4513. Rocky's down in Florida. Rock, what's going on, pal? Good to hear from you.
How y'all doing?
What's up, Rock? Well, Rocky, what's on your mind?
Well, one thing, I was kind of troubled with the whole Swartz on the temporary IR, because it was just a dislocated toe, and that's about a 2 to 3, no more than a 4 week injury.
Well, Rocky, I don't think it was just a dislocated toe. I think there was probably some limited ligament damage in there and stuff like that. Nothing torn, but I think there was some other damage besides just the dislocated toe. Remember, it's his big toe too, so that's the weight bearing toe. So for a big offensive lineman that has to play on his toes and push off of that, it has to be healthy if he wants to be effective. And trust me, he can't even walk without a limp in the hallway. I saw him the other day, still walking with a limp. And you're, 4 weeks off the injury? So, trust me, it's going to be a while.
Okay, yeah, and I hadn't called in a while, but I thought letting Adonijay go over Wynn was a mistake. I don't know if he's starting for somebody or anybody else has signed him, but
I don't think anybody picked him up.
Well, I figured Dallas would get him, but that ain't happened. But, no, Coughlin said he wanted to go with the younger guy there.
Well, I can tell you for sure, Rock, if Kerry Wynn would have gotten let go, he would have gotten picked up by another team, and I think it probably would have been the Patriots, to be honest with you. So if they would have tried to get Kerry Wynn into the practice squad, I don't think they would have been able to. And by the way, Quarles got cut by the Patriots,
correct,
moved on to the practice squad, so there you go. He's not even on an active roster for the people that were freaking out about him.
He's currently a free agent.
Right. No, he got put back on the Patriots practice squad.
Well,
they put him back on the practice squad. I did not realize that. Okay.
Well, Coon can't get on the field for us, you know, but anyway, and as far as the running game, I didn't see Hillis at all last game. If you want to establish a ground game and you got a 250-pound bruiser back, don't you want to get him a couple carries between the tackles?
You only got 4 carries for Andre Williams, though. I mean, you barely got enough carries for your second guy. If you put Payne Hillis into the mix, you're either reducing Rashad Jennings' carries to 11 or 12, or you're getting Andre Williams down to 2 or 3. Honestly, I think if you split between Jennings and Williams, you're fine. I mean, do you have a problem with the power being provided by Rashad Jennings or Andre Williams? Both of them are pretty good power backs.
Yeah, but I trust Hillis more than I do a rookie. I mean, he's proven he can run for 1,000 yards in this league.
Rocky, he did it once in like 5 years. Come
Rocky, the bottom line is, regardless of the personnel, until this offensive line works out its kinks, it doesn't matter who you have in the backfield. I mean, you could have some of the greats in the backfield. They're not going to get it done. You have to solve the offensive line before you start worrying about who you're mixing and matching in the backfield.
Okay, yeah, and on defense, it looks like they're doing a lot of zone in the secondary show. I thought the whole idea was to play more man press and bump them at the line more.
Rocky, thanks for the call, pal. And, look, I agree. And, I was surprised, too, that they played as much zone as they did against the Lions. They played some man. And the thing now is confused by, Lance, is that when they played a lot of the man, they weren't giving the safety help over the top to Calvin Johnson. Or maybe there was some blown assignments. I'm not sure what the reason was. But then when they played the zone, they didn't really seem to be in the right spots to watch out for a guy like Johnson. So, I get why Giant fans would be upset with the game plan. I think in the end, I'm not sure if it was as much the game plan or the player's inability to execute the game plan. And that's what Perryfield talked about in the audio that we played, Lance, that there are opportunities to get stops, but their missed tackles and missed assignments cost them 200 yards. So if you clean those up, the game plan doesn't look so bad.
There were a number of times where DRC was matched up with Calvin Johnson, and Calvin Johnson has a slant route, and he's waiting for the safety to come over, and the safety wasn't there. So I think a lot of it was some of the miscues and the mistakes that were piling up. However, with that being said, and you alluded to this earlier in the program, John, perhaps in Perryfield's mindset, he's saying to himself, listen, the Lions have a great deal of talent that they like to spread out. We're better off perhaps playing a zone so that everybody can cover each other's tracks. Now you go up against Arizona this week. They're not nearly as stacked, at least on paper. You have Larry Fitzgerald. You have Michael Floyd. John Brown is a rookie, even though he did have a touchdown in the San Diego game. Four tight ends who are known more for their blocking than necessarily their receiving.
Well, Hausler can catch, and they have Troy Nicholas, too, by the way.
And John Carlson is an established vet,
too. I'm surprised we haven't gotten the shakes call yet about Troy, Nicholas this week.
Considering he was on the radar for many Giants fans heading into the draft. Don't give them more material to perhaps throw our way.
Well, we got to see how much he plays. I was so happy. And look, you know what? No one wanted the Giants to draft Derek Ebron more than me. I could not have been happier to see him not catch a ball because all I wanted to deal with on Tuesday morning was you should have drafted Derek Ebron.
He was taken before the Giants could even make a pick.
Do you think that would have mattered? Seriously.
It probably wouldn't have. But listen, the facts are the facts. Even if the Giants wanted him, they still couldn't get him.
Well, they should have traded up for him, Lance.
Oh, come on. Now listen, we could go back and forth with the past. And Nicholas, though, you want to make the argument about Nicholas, fine. The Giants could have had him.
Yeah, but
you can make that argument.
Do you want to take another offensive lineman out of the mix on this team and not draft Weston Richburg?
Not at all. Listen, if there's anything that has come to the forefront over these last few games, it's the fact that they need as much help and as much depth on the offensive line.
And if you want to make the argument, Zach Martin first round, then you pick the tight end in the second round, then who's your playmaker? Is it going all year without having a big playmaker coming back later, old Beckham? So there's no easy answer here, folks.
Well, and real quickly, before we get back to the phones, with that being said, and I've gotten a lot of tweets last night, for example, the Giants should have signed Owen Daniels because he got two touchdowns last night. Larry Dinnell was the biggest playmaker for the Giants in their last game.
As a receiver, he's fine.
I'm not saying he's going to continue this.
As a receiver, he's fine.
Correct. There are some issues in the blocking department.
But Owen Daniels isn't a blocker either. So there you go.
That's why they have two tight ends there. They have Dennis Pitt and Owen Daniels so that they could utilize each other's strengths.
Right. 201-939-4513. Dennis Pitta fans probably a little bit annoyed last night that Owen Daniels
got to bring the fantasy angle into it, don't we?
No question. Back to the phones. Izzy's in the Bronx at 201-939-4513. What's up, Iz?
What's going on, fellas? Thanks for taking my call.
Thanks for
man.
Calling in, Izzy. How are you, pal?
I got a lot of points, but I'm gonna break it down to just about two.
All right, that sounds good.
And then I'm gonna ask a couple of questions.
All right, be quick. You got about five minutes, Iz. Go ahead.
I got you. The first emphasis is who's the blame got to go on for the offensive line situation? Because Jerry Reese, if you think about it, he's doing his bargain basement strategy to get the reserves or John Jerry,
Well, Izzy, in fairness, J.D. Walton didn't get about $2 million guaranteed. Jeff Schwartz got a legitimate offensive line contract that you would give to a very good guard. Will Beatty is signed to a big money contract over 5 years, and they invested a second-round pick in Weston Richburg. So you put those four, and Justin Pugh is a first-round pick. So of the five guys that were supposed to start, which are those five, they were either a first-round pick, a second-round pick, or got significant money in their second contract or in free agency. So I wouldn't consider that bargain basement. Now, if you want to say the talent's not as good as what they're paying these guys, that's a different argument. But they certainly did put resources into the offensive line this year.
Okay, I'll give you that. But the play speaks for itself, so I don't want to go overemphasize on that.
That's fair.
But my second point is on defense. Perryfield, I like Perryfield. I'm not going to say he's a bad defensive coordinator. He did some good things with Buffalo, and, you know, when the Giants gave him a chance to give him the, you know, they gave him the reins as far as dictating the defense and everything like that. But with the players that they brought in, D.C., Thurman, you know, you got these guys, even Prince. Prince is a bump and run. Like, that's what he played in Nebraska. Why are they not pitching more? I'm gonna just give you an inner city perspective.
Izzy, it's only one game. It's only one game. Let's see what they do against Arizona.
I know, guys, but I'm just saying as far as preseason and previous, this bend but don't break scheme that Perry Fuel is doing, as far as our defensive line is not built in the straight hand days. So I'm not being like critical and going overboard just because it's one game. I'm going off of last year and seeing the results of right now. We still got Seattle to play. We still got San Francisco to play. We still got a lot of good teams that we got to face, and somebody got to give up some answers, change the strategy. I just saw a recent on Giants Live, as far as Coughlin, he's saying, like, you're supposed to be the head coach. Why are you not telling Perry Fuel, listen, man, put DeMontre Moore out there. Don't sit up here and he's debating it like he should have got more reps.
Well, Izzy, look, the reason DeMontre Moore didn't play as many snaps, and look, the head coach during the game doesn't micromanage substitutions. No head coach does that. That's left to either the position coach or the coordinators. Now, here's the problem. DeMontre Moore is going to be used in pass rush packages, right?
And I agree.
Right, and pass rush packages are used best when you have the lead. When the other team's beating you by 14 or 20 points, it's hard to put in pass rush packages. Do you know why? There's odds are they might run the football. And then all of a sudden, you're not going to be able to put pass rush packages in. So I think DeMontre Moore's snaps, and Perry Fuel brought this up yesterday, was limited A, by score, and B, I think he was apparently, according to Perry Fuel at least, was part of some of the packages with Devon Kennard. So once Kennard couldn't go with the hamstring, that might have limited the use of those packages a little bit. Now, I personally think it has more to do with the score than the Devon Kennard thing, but it is something to keep an eye on. You can't send out these pass rush packages if you're down two scores. It ain't going to work.
No, I agree. I totally agree with that. But look, my thing is, if everybody is seen to be talking as far as the critical outlooks as far as the offensive line and everything like that, I mean, As this thing go on, I just think, just in my opinion, you know, I'm just giving a fan's perspective, I just think it needs to be more of an emphasis to at least, like, get a little creative. Don't have the running back and the tight end have to block because your old line is just giving up on certain D tackles or, you know, whatever the case may be. Scheme it a little better. I got a little bit of faith in McAdoo because he was a quarterback's coach, and to give somebody the offensive coordinator status on a team that's really just gelling or, you know, giving them time to gel, as Big Blue Nation and as a proud organization that we are, I don't think the Giants got a lot of leeway to sit up here and say as we go along or, you know, as it's going to get better, because a lot of other teams, they got the same new coordinators too. And you see them, they run their offense pretty good. You got Cleveland. You got Detroit.
Well, Izzy, you're 100% right. So what does that tell you? If other teams can learn their systems, maybe it's not the system that's the problem. Maybe it's the talent.
But that's why it goes back on. My question is, everybody's giving Jerry Reese a pass on, you know, two Super Bowls or whatever the case is. And he got lucky as far as – well, he got fortunate. I didn't want to say lucky. He got fortunate with the Bradshaws, with the bosses. And, you know, he got a pass as far as
– give him credit for those. I give him credit for those.
Hands down, I'll give him credit for that. But as going along, as far as thinking about the future, I just don't think it was an emphasis as far as like Jerry Reese. His strategy to me, it just seemed like, okay, I know this guy's going to be good. I know this guy in the draft's going to be good. Let me see if this guy, a third rounder or fourth rounder out of whatever college or whatever the case is, let me see if he's going to pan out. I don't know if that's his strategy. I'm just going off of how it looks.
All right,
as far as what we draft.
Well, Izzy, they tend to preach patience and appreciate the phone
call.
Thanks
for the call,
with respect
Izzy.
To some
appreciate
of their draft picks. Izzy was also referring to the fact that there have been a number of other new offenses who have new coordinators right. That have seemed to have clicked quicker. Let's look at the Lions, for example, John. Keep in mind, we're talking about the number 6th overall offense last year. The personnel's back for the most part. If you're Joe Lombardi, how much are you revamping?
Now,
it's not broken.
The better argument is a team like the Vikings, who looked pretty good. They weren't a dynamic offense this past week, but they did score 20-plus points, and they had a nice little game.
How much, though, was that because the Rams are in such disarray?
Yeah, they got a good defense.
They do, but when your offense doesn't score points, look at what happens to your defense.
That's true.
And I'm not trying to make excuses and saying, you know, give the time, give more leeway to the Giants.
The Redskins didn't exactly light it up.
Redskins did not necessarily light it up, correct. That would be a good example.
The Titans played pretty well. Though they don't – no.
Jake Locker looked pretty good in that last game.
Titans.
He did. But the Lions, I don't think, are a good enough example, even though they had a new offensive coordinator, because you're talking about an offense that was so highly ranked heading into
the
season. The Giants, remember, were at the bottom of the barrel when it came to the offensive rankings.
Well, and that's our point. I know all the talk is about the system. Eli's not used to the system. System this, system that, system this, system that. Guys, you can put these players in any system if you want. If they're not better than the guys across them, guess what? You're going to have problems. And right now, I think it comes down to being more of a talent issue than it is
personnel.
Getting used to the system issue. You got to get these offensive linemen back. The guys that are on the field have got to be healthy. And Victor Cruz has got to make plays. Reuben Randall's got to make plays. Jarrell Jernigan's got to make plays. And that's what's got to happen here. It's very simple.
And not just necessarily making plays. How about avoiding the drop passes? I mean, you could add up on two hands you need. How many drop passes they had in that last contest, whether it be Rashad Jennings, whether it be Victor Cruz. You have to take advantage of your opportunities. Why? Because if you miss out on those opportunities, then all of a sudden that leads to issues and you have third and longs and so forth. I was actually doing some crunching of the numbers if you go back to the last game. In terms of the third downs that the Giants faced, they were 3 of 13. 4 downs for 4 yards or less, 4 for 9 yards or more.
Well, and that's the number that killed them last year.
Yeah.
So many of their third downs were of 8, 9, 10 double-digit yards. It was an absolute killer. And it's when you're in third and long constantly, it's very difficult to convert. It really is. And by the way, we'll keep an eye on Twitter. Tom Coughlin should be addressing the media after practice in a bit. We'll keep an eye on the beat reporters. Maybe we'll get some updated injury news on you on who's playing on Sunday, who's not. So we'll have that for you in a little bit. But for now, let's go back to the phones at 201-939-4513. Up next is Keith in Kentucky. Keith, you're on the air next on Big Blue Kickoff Live on Giants.com. Keith, how are you, pal?
Hey, what's going on, fellas?
How are you, Keith?
Doing well, Keith. What you got?
Yeah, I wasn't really shocked by this last game. I mean, I was shocked, but I wasn't really shocked. And I'm not really worried about it. I'm not going to say I don't have no concerns because the offensive line still looked terrible. But Giants fans got to understand, J.D. Walton going one-on-one with Sue, that's not a good matchup.
Well, I don't think he was one-on-one with them. The center very rarely goes one-on-one with somebody. Usually it's a combo block with the guard. But the bottom line is, look, Keith, J.D. Walton struggled. No one's going to have an argument about that.
Right. There was a couple times he was on an island. I mean, he got manhandled by one arm. I think it was his right arm. He pushed him with one play, and the play was just over. But, you know, we don't really have to face that going into the Cardinals game because, you know, Dockett's gone.
Yep.
You know, definitely don't wish nothing bad on none of the players. But
their front still is
gone.
Pretty good, though, Keith. Their front's still pretty strong.
Right, yeah, I watched that Chargers game.
Yeah.
It was still pretty crazy. I mean, the blitz packages that they were putting in to compensate. Oh man, I mean, we still got a little bit of a problem, but I hope we do a little more some more screens, and I hope Tom Coughlin switches up the personnel. I like that they put Washington in to see what he got. I mean, he should have caught that ball. That was his chance, but. Fans don't give up because Victor Cruz did the same thing his first year. That Washington game, remember, they put him in and he dropped the ball.
Yep.
And you didn't think they would go see him no more until you needed him. So hopefully that thing happens. And I want you to – I just want to ask you a question about Jarrell Jernigan.
Yeah.
Do y'all really think he fits this? Because he did not fight for that ball. There's a ball, a couple balls, where he either had the alligator arms or he just didn't fight hard enough.
Well, Keith, that has nothing to do with fit. I mean, fighting for a ball and getting alligator arms and putting the Izod sweater on has nothing to do with fitting an offensive system. That has
right,
to do with Jarrell Jernigan
line, by the way. Anyway.
Being a good enough wide receiver to play in the NFL. That has nothing to do with system. That has to do with Jarrell Jernigan good enough. I mean, Jarrell Jernigan doesn't have much of a different body type than Randall Cobb. So, yeah, Jarrell Jernigan fits in the system, sure. He's just got to play better.
Okay. Well, that's all I got for today, guys.
Thank you, Keith. Appreciate
right,
the
Keith.
Call, my friend. 201-939-4513. Let's stick to the phones. We got about 20 minutes to go. We have a couple open lines at 201-939-4513. Up next, we got Charlie up in Portland, Maine. Chuckles, I haven't heard from
here
you in a while,
fireworks.
Bud. How are you?
I'm good. How are you guys?
I'm doing great, Charlie.
Can't Hey, what do? The Giants give you a closet to sit in over there?
Yeah, pretty much.
All right, here comes the criticism and the critique. We're gonna get a sponsor for your phone call moving forward, Charlie.
No, he already has one, I think.
Yeah, that's
hey,
right.
That's
he's got
a flower.
Yeah, we forgot
yeah,
about that. An oversight on my part.
That's okay. Odell Beckham will be out for the next 5 months, but Annika could have got him on the field by now. But that's all right.
You get to the other point, Charlie.
All right. My point is, I heard Perry Fuel's press conference.
Yeah.
And he kind of like went all over the place except for one thing.
What's that?
He didn't say his lousy play calling was part of the reason why the defense played so poorly. You know, everything was like this and that and this guy, and we just missed a tackle, and we just did this. But he never said once maybe his cover two defense wasn't appropriate when they got the best cover corners, one of the best cover corners.
Well, but Charlie,
in
fairness, though, and there were a lot of issues on defense, just because he hasn't said it to the media doesn't mean that those conversations are not happening behind closed doors.
And by the way, it's not like he played zone every play, Charlie. They did run some man-to-man. That first Calvin Johnson catch down the sideline on Prince wasn't man-to-man. The Calvin Johnson slant over the middle when he was in the slot on Dominique Rodgers-Cromartie, that was man-to-man. So it's not like the Giants just gave up plays in zone. They gave up plays when they're playing man-to-man, too.
Yeah, but the thing is, at least you're playing man-to-man is fine. I mean, Calvin Johnson made some great catches.
Well, what's the difference if he makes that? What's the difference though if he makes the catch in the man-to-man or zone? A catch is a catch, Charlie.
Yeah, but you had Golden Tate wide open. They were playing bullfighter.
Well,
you know, they just
that
let
was
him
a zone.
Pass right through.
That was an issue.
Right?
And look, Charlie, that was a blown coverage. If you're playing the cover two right, Stevie Brown's supposed to stay towards the sideline to go with Golden Tate. You know what? He saw Calvin Johnson going to the deep post, and he thought to himself, oh, boy, he already has 7 catches and 180 yards. I better follow Calvin Johnson. And you know what happened? Golden Tate leaped right past Dominique Rodgers-Cromartie playing that low flat in the cover two, and he was wide open. But you know what? If the scheme is played properly, Stevie Brown should be covering Golden Tate. He screwed up the scheme.
Right, and Stevie Brown screwed up the scheme many times before. There was always – remember when he played, there was always miscommunication all the time?
That's not wrong.
Between the secondary?
That's not wrong.
Right?
That's
so. So what happened, you know, and the other thing is, you know, the drug policy is going to change. And guess who's going to be reinstated?
J. Ron Hosley, you're talking about.
No, I'm talking, Hosley, but so isn't Will Hill, so isn't Josh Gordon.
But we'll
all
see.
Hold on, Charlie.
Before you jump the gun with Will Hill, keep in mind there's speculation that Josh Gordon is still going to maybe have to serve about an 8-game suspension, and Hill is a multiple offender. So we've got to see the rules and the regulations regarding this new policy before you start penciling in this guy and that guy.
Yeah, but the thing is, the new regulations is going to change the whole thing with marijuana, and Will Hill will never be suspended again for that. And that's going to be a fact because they're changing it.
Well, we'll see.
If the Giants had some perspective and not so myopic, they would have saw that, and they would have saw the change coming.
Well, Charlie, if the Giants knew this was coming – Then they still let him go, it was probably a mistake. But to say you could have anticipated this 3 months ago and 4 or 5 months ago and nobody was talking about it, I think is probably, you know, being a little bit creative.
And, Charlie, at this point, unless Will Hill could play offensive line, I don't know if that's necessarily a major blow right now. Granted, he was a great player.
Or receiver for them.
Yeah, they need playmakers on offense right now more so than they need defensive players at this point.
Well, that's true. And the reason why I gave up on the season back in March was
and we actually
Jerry
still have it up on the
by
wall.
The way,
don't
Charlie,
just so
you can actually go online.
See, perfect segue.
Charlie gives up on season in April. It's right there. It's on the wall. I don't make stuff up.
The reason why I did was because Jerry Reese didn't go after the best offensive lineman in free agency. He didn't go after Mac, and he didn't go after Brandon Albert, the guy from Kansas City who's now the great tackle.
Hey, in fairness, Charlie, hold on. Jeff Schwartz was widely considered by many people as the best free agent guard on the market. So let's not downplay how important Jeff Schwartz was supposed to be.
We needed a tackle.
To play for who? To play for who?
You can move Pugh inside. Pugh would be better as a guard than a tackle.
Pugh was great as a tackle last year. Why do you want to move Pugh for?
Because he would be an all-pro guard.
How do you know that? He's never played guard before. How do you know he's going to be an all-pro guard?
Because he can move, and because he has the bulk, and because he's smart.
You're being creative again, Charlie.
I think that's his best position, and I think, you know, you're going to find out it will be his best position at some point in time. But that's why I gave up on the season, because he didn't go after the offensive lineman that we needed to protect Eli, and that was why. And we ended up with Journeyman. We ended up with, Jerry John, which I think he played pretty well. I you know,
he's also known as John Jerry in other walks of life.
Close enough.
It's okay. Don't worry about it.
You know what I think? Charlie, I think, was, thinking about getting the sandwich from the sandwich place that has
yes,
a similar
that
name.
May have been his rationale.
Exactly, right. They're not a sponsor, so I will not mention the name, by the way.
All right. Well, look, I'm gonna write the Giants and try to get you guys a bigger room, because you deserve a bigger room.
We appreciate that.
Hey, Lance is a small guy. He doesn't need a bigger room.
I'm not as high maintenance as John, so I'm okay. I'm not a complainer.
But you guys are too close together. It's not good.
Well, we need to be a little bit more antisocial then. See, we're moving apart as you speak. I got to stay in the camera range, though. Keep that in mind, Charlie.
Actually, that might help ratings.
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
Thank you, Charlie.
All right, Charlie.
See you guys.
Have a good one. 201-939-4513. See, we're supposed to have fun here. That's what it's all about. By the way, did you see the from BBN Uncensored?
Yes, I did. I'm not going to read that online.
I can read it.
Oh, you can read it.
Well,
if you want.
They had a question. They said, "How old is Lance Meadow? He looks like a teenager with a grown man's voice." That was the quote.
Wonderful.
So, how old are you?
This was the danger of adding
shakes.
The camera element.
Tell
we
shakes.
Know we celebrated a few weeks ago.
No, but
the big 3-0.
Tell them now. The big 3-0.
There we go. It's out there. You happy?
Exactly. All right. We got 12 minutes.
Glad
ago.
That
Let's
we can now move on with
calls,
the program.
And we'll keep an eye on Twitter as well for that injury report. It should be coming down relatively soon. Let's go back to the phones, and let's see who's up next here. Let's say hello to Anthony in Phoenix. Say, Anthony, I know, probably more than anybody, was excited about the show moving to noon, because now he doesn't have to wake up at the crack of dawn to actually listen and call in.
Yeah, that's especially true when I have to have off from work, guys.
Nah, very nice. What's up, Anthony?
Good to see you, though. That nice picture. Things look really good. I hope it stays.
This isn't going anywhere.
Hey, don't worry. John used as much scotch tape as humanly possible, Anthony, to put this background up.
Thumbtacks.
A little bit of everything. Elmer's glue, you name it.
And the best part, our tech guru, the guy that runs our website, Nilay Shah, loves the fact that we're in his office taking up all this space. So that's really why we're going to
stay. That's
save
the icing
the
on the cake.
No
Anytime we could
it.
Disturb others, it's wonderful.
Listen, I'm glad you put me on after Charlie because, listen, guys, it's only one game. Okay, the sky isn't falling. You know, this game with the Cardinals is important. It really is. It's our home opener. The guy's got to show up. I agree with you wholeheartedly. Cruz has got to show up. Randall's got to show up. The offensive line has got to show up. Any news about Beatty's condition? I mean, not Beatty. Beeson's condition.
Look, we haven't had any more word today. We're keeping an eye on when Tom Coughlin addresses the media. We'll try to get that news for you as soon as possible. There's nothing new yet. I think he's still going to play even after the fact he didn't practice yesterday. I think they're going to try to manage his foot injury as best you can. If you think back to when the Giants had to deal with Bradshaw's feet, you know, sometimes you put him out there in practice when he can. When you can't, he won't. But they're trying to find a good shoe here to kind of protect and cushion that foot. And when they figure out what that shoe is, they'll put him out there, and hopefully John Beeson will be able to practice 3 days a week and play on Sundays.
Yeah. I think it's a little sad when our tight end is the leading receiver.
Well, but Anthony, with that being said, it was the biggest question mark heading into the season. Everybody was panicking about the tight end position. Yeah. So, if anything, after one game, hopefully that calms some of the concerns.
Yeah, and Washington almost had that ball in the end zone. That was really close.
You know, I think one thing that Giant fans should be happy about, and McAdoo talked about this when he got here, Anthony, is he wants to play to his talent. So he saw mismatches outside. The line's corners are not big, so what does he try? He tries to go to Corey Washington and Larry Donnell, who had big size advantage. Now, the first two didn't work. They finally got it done on the third fade, but it shows you his willingness and ability to adjust what he does based on the defense and his ability to game plan to take advantage of mismatches.
Okay, anything about Schwartz? Anything change about Schwartz yet?
I mean, Schwartz, you're looking at week 8. He's on that temporary IR. It's going to take him a while to get back.
Okay. Yeah, and Mosley's okay?
Yes, he looks okay. You know, that's one thing we can find out today, too, see who starts at right guard. Is it going to be Jerry or Mosley? That's something that Tom Coughlin indicated was still up in the air on Wednesday.
Mosley spoke to the media early this week. He said that he's feeling better, but there's really no guarantee in terms of who's going to get the nod. We'll probably hear more today. Yep. And just real quickly on Schwartz, piggybacking, Anthony, off of what John said, since he's on short-term IR, the earliest he could come back is week 9 against the Colts. I mean, that is something that the Giants can't get around. That's just the rules and regulations. When you put a player on IR, you designate him to return. He has to mix X amount of weeks.
Yep.
Good. Have a nice weekend, guys. I'll talk to you on Monday.
You thanks, well, Anthony. Good
thanks
to hear
so
from
much.
You, Ben. 201-939-4513.
We'll squeeze in a few more calls as we go back to the phones and say what's up to Darian in Delaware. Darian, what's going on?
Hey, what's up, guys?
How are you, Darian?
How we doing, Darian?
All right. I just had one comment to make,
sure.
Really, about the offense. I just feel like we're not being aggressive on offense. I feel like the offense is too timid. This dink and dunk stuff, I don't like it. I'd like the old Giants will kill you with the deep ball. We're a home run team. That's what our identity used to be. I don't like this little dink and dunk screen pass all the time. I just feel like we're on the field practicing still. It doesn't feel like we have a hold of the offense, and I don't feel like the defense respects this.
Hey, look, Darian, the fact of the matter is you're not going to see as many plays down the field as I think you saw under Kevin Gilbride. But that doesn't mean they're not going to take their chances. I mean, look, if Eli Manning makes a better throw, slash the offensive line protects him better, however you want to look at it. He had Victor Cruz on that play down the sideline that Glover Quinn came over and picked off. If Eli puts another 5 yards air underneath that thing could be a touchdown if you make a better throw. So it also helps you run the ball, by the way. You bring that safety into the box. If you can actually run the ball consistently, something else the Giants didn't do well on Sunday.
You need balance.
Monday night, excuse me. So you need some balance. The offense can make big plays, Darian. Don't freak out too much over just 1 week.
Yeah, man. I just don't see the aggressiveness. I just feel like we're out there playing too soft, man.
Well, there's only so much you could take away from one game, Darian, as John mentioned.
And thanks for the call, bud.
If there are some concerns about personnel, I think that there's some substance and stock behind that, as John and I have voiced over the course of this program. As far as the system is concerned, to all of a sudden jump to conclusions and say the system does not fit the team, there's major issues, I think we really need to gauge it better over the next few weeks before you start to say, hey, this system is not an ideal situation. Personnel, hey, we could debate that as long as you'd like, because Jarrell Jernigan is not new to the franchise. Reuben Randall's not new to the franchise. You get the gist of what they're going to bring to the table. The system, I don't really think we're at the point where we can argue strongly about what exactly the strengths and weaknesses of the system are, considering there's only one full game under their belt.
Well, you know I'm excited about this. Bran is all the way in Dublin, Ireland,
wow,
across the Atlantic. Bran, good morning. How are you? Good afternoon. See, I told you I was going to do it at least once today. How are you,
it
buddy?
It happens.
Bran, are you there, pal? You got him locked in there, Greg? Bran, how about now?
I love your show.
Thank you, Bran. Appreciate it.
I love it. Yeah, I'm just going to call you out, though. I think it was you or Lance said that Pugh would be an all-pro guard if you put him inside.
I don't remember saying that, but there's a possibility he could be an all-pro guard, but I don't think we know that. And more recently, Brad, my point all offseason was that despite the fact that many people try to move Justin Pugh, I think based on his last 10 games or 12 games last year, he could be a Pro Bowl caliber right tackle. So why move him inside when you already know he's a very good right tackle? Now, he didn't play that great in the preseason. He didn't play great in regular season game number one. So if he keeps playing poorly at tackle, should you maybe consider moving him inside? I'm all for that. But I'm not ready to go down that path yet because I think he can rebound and play well at right tackle based on what he did in year number one. You know what I mean?
Yeah, sure. I mean, he's probably our best line player, in fairness, if you reflect last year at all. I mean, Beattie, I love Will Beattie, but he's just not right. And I think he's a little bit like a racehorse. He's a bit too delicate, you know. If he's ready to go and he believes in himself and he's running ahead, he's the man. But when he ain't the man, he's known, you know. And there's nowhere in between, and that's just not good enough in the NFL. We've got to protect Eli or we're doomed.
Hey, look, Will Beattie has to be consistent, Brand. There's no question about it. If you want to pick out one player that might be the most important guy in the roster this year on offense, it could very well be Will Beattie.
Yeah, well, his performance and certainly will dictate everything because everything is he anchors everything, and if he ain't performing, nothing is gonna work. You know, even the half decent run performances we put up in the preseason, it's just not gonna show if the O line isn't working. You know. And I think if Pugh has to go inside, we could get a right tackle on the open market far easily than we can get a good left tackle.
That's true.
Beattie, I think, would be good if we had a solid line, you know, to pivot off him. And I think that all has to come from the center. I like Weston Richburg. I think he's a real little find. I think he's going to be a star in the future for us. But I think if we put Pugh inside and went out and bought some beast of a right tackle, it could give us back some cojones. It would give us back some swagger, and I think that's missing.
Well, you could always move Brandon Mosley out to right tackle. He's had some experience there, too.
I'd like to move Mosley right out of the building.
Well, that's always an option, too.
That is always an option, no question.
Listen, guys, I love your show. Thank you for it. It's kept me alive for the whole offseason.
Brad, thanks for calling in, man. And we love our fans overseas, man. Thanks so much.
Oh, there's lots of us here. Don't you worry.
Thank you, bud.
Go Giants. Take care.
I wonder when they're going to send the Giants back to London.
Well, I think they want to try to rotate as many teams as possible.
Been 8 years. I mean, you probably have almost half the teams been there already.
And considering they had multiple games last season, too.
Yeah, so that's sped up the process. Yeah. Good point.
Well, you're dying to make an overseas trip,
apparently. I'm just saying. I was curious.
They're all lining up in Dublin to get the John Schmelk Hancock. So, you know.
Are you done?
It's impressive.
All right.
Yes, continue. I'm sorry to interrupt this tremendous conversation. Anyway.
You're killing me, Meadow. All right. Let's go through some tweets. How about that? Anything jump out at you over the course of the show here? What do you got?
Well, there was a little debate on the playing time with respect to DeMontre Moore and Matthias Kiwanuka, and I don't have the exact tweet up, but the point was about how sometimes the organization tends to play veterans more so than rookies, and maybe it's the time to start to adopt a new policy. I think really, with respect to DeMontre Moore, and it's been a learning curve for him since he arrived on the scene and entered this organization, as long as he prevents himself from making those mental mistakes, and as Perry Fuel mentioned and graded him out, he had a very strong game.
Right.
I mean, if he brings down Matthew Stafford, we're looking at DeMontre Moore's performance in a whole different light.
And only had 9 defensive snaps. All right, really quick, Eddie Goomba wants us to do a funny hat day on camera. Maybe Lance will do that.
I got a hat right above me.
Ben Gruen makes a good point. Deep ball will come back more when Odell Beckham Jr. does. I think that's true. Let's see. What do we got here? 7 with a T wants somebody to mention Ramsey's Barton to see how red I'll get. That's funny. Ali Jackson, why don't we go after Eric Winston? Well, he could really help at the offensive line. Well, how come no other team is going off Eric Winston?
Well, Winston was with the Seattle Seahawks during the course of training camp. He is the president of the players' union, so I'm sure he's got a lot more on his plate right now given this new policy. He could be an option, but once again, even if you bring in a veteran, you know, there needs to be that period of time where you allow them to adjust. Adam Snyder was not active for this last game. Perhaps he makes his debut this week.
SNF Mikey, why not play more over Kiwi in some spots, or is Kiwi's run defense that much better? I think Kiwi's run defense is better, but I do think DeMonte Moore and Robert Ayers, by the way, are creeping up on Kiwanuka's playing time if they keep playing well.
And Ayers had a sack in the last contest.
He did. Yeah. So that's it, Lance. Final thoughts real quick on the game on Sunday. I'll need a prediction, but give me your final thoughts on how you think the game's going to go.
Well, I think that the defense is going to have a bounce-back performance in this contest, given the fact that I think a lot of what Perry Fuel was noting in the players, and I saw it too, was the fact that a lot of mental mistakes was the reason why there were so many different defensive breakdowns. But at the end of the day, this offense needs to get back on track. They're going to have to run the football, because I don't think this passing game is at the point where magically they're going to pull a 180 and all of a sudden light it up for 300 yards. They got to run the football. That's what they're going to have to do. And it's a very tough task considering the 3-4 front that the Cardinals presents, and this is the number one rushing defense. So it's not going to be easy by any respect of the game or the imagination, but you got to run the football. That's what you have to do.
And Ben McAdoo and Tom Coughlin won't like me saying this, but look, I think the offense is going to be a work in progress here. So I think the defense is going to have to carry the load. If the Giants want to win this game, to me, Lance, they have to win the turnover battle. They have to run the ball a little bit better. And the defense has to hold the Cardinals to under 24 points.
And real quickly, speaking of your turnover point, keep in mind, the Giants recover that Joik Bell fumble early in the game. I'm not saying they're going to win the contest, but who knows how that changes the outcome.
That play, the DeMontre Moore play.
Big turning point.
You know, if Cromartie doesn't slip before Stevie Brown runs him over, all those things could change the outcome very easily. All right, everybody, that's all the time we have on Big Blue Kickoff Live on this Friday afternoon. Hope you enjoyed it. We continue at noon all week next week on video. You can also check Lance and I, out on Sunday morning at 11:30, the Coors Light Giants Game Day radio program on Sports Radio 66 WFAN. Comes your way at 11:30. Kickoff at 1 with Papa Banks and Cross, and then Lance, Banks, myself, and Papa have the post-game show afterwards. So make sure you check that out on WFAN. And then, of course, we'll be back with you on Monday at noon. For Lance Meadow, I'm John Schmelk. Thanks for tuning in to Big Blue Kickoff Live, our brand-new video show at noon. We'll see you on Monday, everybody.
Have a good one.